My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and it's my pleasure and honor today to bring God's Word to you. I look forward to bringing this Word today about the remnant of God. Today is Sunday in the middle of May, and every month we have a theme here at First Open Bible, and this month's theme is action. Amen. Action. I just want to say something without saying any names today. I was so proud of someone this week in our church. See, a lot of times we get hung up on the word action. We think we have to be some sort of superhero. There's already one superhero. His name was Jesus. You don't have to be a superhero, but you have to follow and be obedient to the superhero, Jesus. And he can do all things you can't. So don't get overwhelmed by thinking you have some sort of action that you need to meet, some sort of goal. Small steps are steps. And it's awesome. And somebody did an amazing thing this week, and I just want to highlight it. I'm not going to use names. But they text me and said, "Hey, Pastor, I just want you to know, in case you get a phone call, I just want you to know that this happened. I'm not trying to brag or anything like that. I just want you to know, so that way they don't call and you go, oh, I don't know anything about that. And then, you know, it looks silly. But so this week was honoring our police and people. That was like an honoring of this week. And so somebody in our church went to Hy-Vee and bought cookies and had them delivered to the local police department and said, "We love you, support you," or whatever they said, from First Open Bible in your Johnson Hy-Vee. That is action, church. That is awesome to me. I was so proud and so happy to see that text message. It just takes one little thing. God, stir your heart to do something, and you're going to do something for his name. You honor that police department got cookies and said, "There's a church that stands behind us." Absolutely. Absolutely. We're thankful. If we didn't have police, it would be absolute chaos, wouldn't it? It'd be anarchy everywhere we go. We'd be afraid to leave our homes. It'd be a very scary place. No matter what you think about the police department, we are called by God to honor the ones above us in authority. And I'm thankful for the police department and anyone else who's at above authority, governmental or civil, anything like that. Teachers, thank you so much. Everyone in authority, we appreciate you. And I thought that was really good. So I am so proud of them. Amen? Something God stirs your heart to do and you think it's going to honor the Lord, do it. Right? Don't ignore it. Do it. Imagine if everybody did something like that in this church. You just something stirred you up. Hey, I'm going to send a bunch of cookies. I'm going to do this to honor this group of people, and I'm going to do it by First Open Bible. Not my name, but our church's name, so that they know that this is a church that loves Jesus and loves people. Amen? Amen. Well, are you blessed today? Do you feel blessed? Do you feel blessed to know the Lord? Do you feel blessed to serve God? Amen. Amen. I want to ask you some questions I want you to think about deep inside of your soul today. Deep. Don't just give the Sunday school answer, all right? Sunday school was an hour ago. It's over. It's church time, right? It's battle time. We're preparing ourselves for war, amen? We're being equipped. And if you're broken today, you're being healed by God's word. I want to ask you some questions. Who are you? Who are you? Remember, don't do some Sunday school answer. Think deep, deep. You might say something, but do you really believe that's who you are? Who do you belong to? What is your purpose here on earth? How do you live? You know, the pastor gets told a lot of stuff, if I like it or not. They just, "Hey, I don't know why I told you that." I don't either. Right? Just spill it all out. And I know a lot of us, including myself, it's easy to clean up on a Sunday, isn't it? But how do you act 2 days from now on a Tuesday? How do you live? We can be real. Amen? Let's be real. Let's be real and authentic. How do you live? Here's a more important question. Why do you live? Why do you live? Who and what do you follow? What do you believe? That's an easy one for church people. What do you believe? I can spit it out, but here's a hard one. Why do you believe that? Why do you believe that? Why do you believe that? When it comes time, what are you going to stand up for? And what will you or will you not bow to? Did you know that in our world today, there's over 4,000 world religions? 4,000 world religions. 75% of all people who belong to faith belong to one of these five major religions in the world today. Number one, Christianity. There's also Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, and Buddhism. Those are the big five in our world today. Did you know people nowadays can quote the Quran, the Torah, the Pali Canon, and the Vedas just as much, if not more, than the average Christian can quote the Bible? Why do you believe what you believe? In our world today, in America, it is no longer enough just to know about God. You cannot just be a good Sunday-going Christian, right? If you've been here any long, I've been preaching from this pulpit now for 3 years as the lead pastor. And if you've been here at any time, you know this is central to my message God has given me. You have to be this person every day. If you're not, then you're fake. God says that you're lukewarm. God says that he'll spit you out of his mouth. We have to be this person every day. But I'm not saying come and clean up. I'm saying be genuine and authentic. Come with your issues and your problems. Work them out with trembling and fear before God. You got to fall on your face if you have to. This altar's open all the time. Come and fall. Let your pride fall and let God build you up and strengthen you. Why? Because the lost world needs you and the message that's inside of you. And the Spirit of the living God who lives in you is great, is so great that it can raise Jesus from the dead. It can go out there and set the captive free. But how can you set the captive free if you are captive? Prisoners can't set other prisoners free, but a free person can. Amen? Can I preach this morning? Got to be more than Sunday-going Christians. To proclaim your faith is not enough. You must show it with your life. It must be something you are willing to die for. First believers ever following Jesus in the book of Acts were willing to die. Willing to die, even upside down on a cross. Willing to die, to give their life, to give all, even their family if they had to. Give it all for the name and the power of following Jesus, the person, not Jesus, the religion. You realize you follow a person, not a religion, right? It's a person. You fall in love with Jesus because he loved you. This is not a religion. This is a relationship. That's what we mean when we say that, because we love our God, and our God is alive, and he's alive in us, and we love him. If you're not willing to die for your beliefs, you're just another stat. Just another stat. Just another warm body that God wants to set on fire. The church in America has lost millions to this sad fact. We've taught our kids to know about God, but we have not taught them to know God. And we do that to the world, don't we, church? You're wrong because the Bible says this. You just keep spitting these things that you know, but do you know God? Because if you knew God, he'd give you a better strategy than that. Standing on the street corner, preaching the gospel message, telling turn or burn, that don't work anymore. standing picketing, does that really work anymore? Is that what Jesus would do, or is that what the Christian religion does? What would Jesus truly do? He would love. That's what he'd do. He'd love. He doesn't tolerate, but he loves. He loves. He loves. So many times we come off so hateful, church. We come off so hateful because I think we know about God, but we don't truly know him to the depths of who we are. And I'm talking in general. We've lost millions to the fact that we have not taught our kids to know God, but we've taught them about God. We must understand the love of our Father, a love that was going to capture our heart. It's going to propel us to obey him and all he asks me to do and you to do. The reason why I do what I do, the reason why I stand behind a pulpit and preach, this was not my plan for my life. But the love of Jesus Christ that set me free compels me to do what he calls me to do, right? He has a destiny and a plan for all of us, all of us. And that love should propel us to do anything, to go anywhere. If you're called into missions and you've been fighting it, you must fall in love with Jesus more than you fall in love with you and your comfort. Go into the world, church. Come on now. Go into the world. Who am I to tell God what I should do? The reason why I breathe is because he lets me. The reason why I have money in my bank is because he gave it to me. The reason why I have a family is because he loves me. Amen? So I better give that love back by giving all my life. I must sacrifice it all. Come on now. To really know Jesus means you have to listen for him, and then you have to listen to him. Don't just listen to things about him. Too long, preacher's been feeding babies. Too long, preacher's been feeding babies. Too long, sermon's been full of baby food. Amen? Some of that stuff looks nasty. You ever seen those little hot dogs? Ooh. That's a great youth game. Or I was a youth pastor for a long time. Not only do you have to eat them hot dogs, you got to drink that drink. Ooh. Ooh. Right? We used to do relays and eat all this nasty stuff. And that was my favorite game. My favorite thing was to watch teenagers throw up. Truth will set me free. That's what God said. That's true. That's truth. That was my favorite, right? And some of you older ones, right? You remember. Y'all threw up in the name of Jesus. Whatever. So you got to listen for him, listen to him. And we have not taught a generation to hear the voice of the Lord. It says in God's word, you all can prophesy. Everybody can prophesy, but we make it this weird event. Now, I will say this different. There's one thing about having the gift of prophecy in a public setting, right? If you have a gift of the nine gifts, you come and talk to the pastor before you do it in service, right? But that's a gift here. You got to come and get that permission because I'm the shepherd and I'm supposed to protect the sheep. Amen? And so you don't just come off and there's chaos and everybody's, I got a gift, I'm going to do what I want, right? But you just come to the pastor, get that. But you can have your own personal gifts. And God says that we should contend for the nine gifts of the Spirit. But God wants you to have the fruits of the Spirit in our lives first. But all of us can prophesy. And you're like, oh, that sounds scary. It's just a word. It's a Christian word that we use. Basically, what it means is this. Speak life into a situation. Speak the things as they should be, not as they are. Edify, build up, right? You speak to those things. Think of a world of all the Christians going around prophesying. What kind of world that look like? Instead of spitting your hate on Facebook and Twitter, right? Start prophesying. Speaking to things, going to work and speaking life to people, right? Asking God for words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Walking up to a coworker you barely know, start speaking about their brother-in-law that's sick and they need healed or something in the name of Jesus. Prophesy to that situation, speak life to it, walk away and let them just freak out, right? Let the Holy Spirit just mess them up, right? That no productivity for that guy today in the name of Jesus, right? You better work harder because you just made somebody else not work worthy of their wages, but you did it in Jesus' name. So work hard after you prophesy to somebody. Not taught a generation to hear the voice of the Lord, to really know what pleases the Lord. What really pleases God? What really pleases God? What really pleases the Lord? To really understand true obedience that is rooted in love, not out of obligation or out of traditions or out of opinions, but out of love. Out of love. Are you a current generation believer? Say amen. All right, we have 17-ish. If you're a current generation, you're alive right now and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he has your heart, he set you free, you love him, and you're going to do everything you can for him. If that's you today, say amen.
Amen.
We need to listen, hear the voice of the Lord. We need to please God through our unwavering faith. There's a key word, unwavering faith. And in love for one another and for God. We have to stand on the word of God, the whole counsel of what God's word says. Don't pick and choose. Right? This ain't Burger King. You can't have it your own way. You know what I'm saying? This is God's word, and it's true, and it's righteous. It's either all true or it's none true. You have to do that. And do what it says no matter what the opposition may say to you or what you may face in opposition. Because if we don't, current believers, we are going to lose. We will lose the remnant of God in America. It will look just like it looked and just like it happened to the Israelites many years ago. In Judges 2:10, it says this: after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. Last week was an awesome week. Wasn't she powerful? Amen. Wasn't it an amazing message? You agree? Amen? It's good. It just shook me up in all kinds of ways. Last week, her name was Dr. Jolene Urlacher. She spoke to us about raising godly children in an ungodly culture. Dr. Jolene asked us this question: what is God doing now? What is God doing now? She talked about a global and cultural shift in our world today. She referenced this man named Peter Drucker. He's a well-known modern educator and author. And he said this, quote, "Every few hundred years in Western history, there occurs a sharp transition. Society rearranges itself. Its worldview, its basic values, its social and political structure, its arts, its key institutions. We are currently living through just such a transformation," end quote. Church, we can call this time that we live in right now, we can call it a time of shaking. Can you say shaking? There's a great divide coming, church. It's been prophesied by Jesus in Matthew 24 and 25. It's been prophesied in the Bible multiple times. Right now we're living, I believe, in a time of a great divide, a great separation, a great shaking. The shaking isn't just separating the world from Christians. Right? We see that. It's apparent. It's easy. Turn on CNN. Right? Turn on any news channel that is liberal, and they'll let you know. It's not just separating the world from Christianity. This great shaking is also separating the believers within the church as well. I will speak to you. Every eye on me, please. If you in your life right now, if you're riding the fence of Christian beliefs and Christian morals, this current shaking is going to shake you right off that fence. Today's a day that you need to choose which side you want to fall on. Because just like the Jericho March, that fence, that wall's coming down. And you've been riding that fence for far too long. Why and what do you believe? I want to encourage you this morning, though. This is really encouraging. This shaking is creating a holy and pleasing remnant of God's chosen people in America. A remnant that is listening for the voice of the Lord. God, speak to me. Here I am. Send me. Tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what I should do. This is a remnant that's going to please God by their faith. And they're going to please God in how they love one another. Jesus said that the world will know you by the way that you what? Love. It's important. Next part. One another. There's enough hate in this world, but how many times do we hate on other Christians? And we look like we're totally divided. It's ridiculous. Why would the world want to follow a divided church? A church that doesn't even like each other, get along with each other. I mean, they got that in their own world. See, this is a remnant that worships God and Him alone with holy fear and awe. But here we are. And it feels like we find ourselves just like in a situation that Daniel found himself in. Standing in the middle of a pagan Babylon. If you're older than 50 years old, will you raise your hand? This is not the same world you grew up in. It's not the same world you grew up in. Some of y'all is like, I just turned 50, that stinks. Couldn't you said 51? Okay. And my birthday. It's not the same world you grew up in. You cannot pray the same prayers you grew up with. You cannot rely on the same faith that you had before. You cannot have the same boldness that you grew up with. New wine and new wineskins. Current generation of believers, we need that. Send a fresh outpouring. Fresh outpouring. A fresh outpouring, Lord. Send a fresh outpouring. God, because if you don't, we're going to lose. And I'm not willing to lose, God. It says in your word, Lord, that we're more than conquerors. But even if everyone falls at my side, I will still honor you, still worship you. You look around and it looks like we're in our pagan Babylon, and here we are, and it's going that way, and it's going fast. That's a fact. It seems like our world as we know it is caving in. It's caving in with an all-out fall of mankind to the hands of evil, which they don't think it's evil. They don't believe in good and bad, but they can recognize this, in the hands of self-love. Current believers, think about this. Have you asked yourself these two questions? What is God doing? And has He ever done something like this before? See, this current shaking in our world in America is not a surprise. Woe to God. Jesus, hey, amen. What is happening in America right now? That's crazy, right? God is not surprised. Is it possible, church, that all this that is happening right now has been predestined before time began? Dr. Jolene last week referred to these three powerful verses. I want to read them. They're in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26, 27, and 28. It says, when God spoke from Mount Sinai, His voice shook the earth. But now He made another promise. God's talking, and if He makes a promise, listen. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. Verse 27. This means that all creation will be shaken and removed. so that only unshakable things will remain. Verse 28. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. I want to ask you another question. Have you been living unshakable? Is your faith unshakable? One of the main jobs as a shepherd is this, to protect the sheep, right? To protect his flock. Anyone, somebody said yeah, amen. Did you know that? Okay, you knew that, right? You got to tell them real quick, yeah. To protect sheep, right? That's right. And sometimes you have to protect the flock from the flock. If you are not living a life that's unshakable, you will be shook up. You'll fall off that fence. God has put me in this position to protect you. And I, as much as I can from this pulpit and whatever part of my life won't let that happen, I will fight for that. I don't come up here preaching a prosperity message, which I think a prosperity message in itself is heresy. If that's all you're preaching, that's called heresy. That's not the gospel. Tell me in the book of Acts where they preached prosperity all the time. No, they died for what they believed in. They were willing to give up everything that they had to see the gospel go forth. To me, that seems almost the opposite. Does God want you to prosper? Absolutely. Does he want you to prosper for your own gain? Absolutely not. It's for the glory of God and him alone. And if you are in it for yourself, then get out, because you're going to not meet your maker very well. You did these things in my name, but I never knew you. Never knew you. It's time to be unshakable. It's game time. Game time. Game time. So I want to ask you, what in your life right now is God shaking in you? What is he shaking in you? What is he shaking up in your life right now? He wants to shake that off. One of my favorite quotes that she said, Dr. Jolene said last week, was this, quote, "If anything affects your faith, hope, and joy other than God, then your faith, hope, and joy is found in something other than God." And don't get me wrong this morning. I'm like many people in here today praying for a revival in America. I'm contending for it. I pray for it all the time. I want a great reformation again in America. I want God to just put the Holy Spirit fire upon America, that we draw ourselves to our knees and we humble ourselves and he heals our land. I want that with all that I am. I want everybody in America and in my area of influence to know Jesus Christ, to follow him, to be set free, and to live a life to the fullest, like John 10:10 says. I want that with all that I am. I want it. I want it. But what if the opposite happens first? A huge shaking happens. And what we have known of our biblical foundation for almost 250 years in this country, in America, is lost. And it turns into what we read about in the Bible, like all other countries that have happened. We turn into a country of pagan beliefs and pagan gods. Here's the question. What if that happens? Will you be unshakable? Will you be Daniel and know that you're going to be killed for your faith, but still open that window up, still pray 3 times a day, and only bow down to Yahweh instead of an idol? Will you do that? Will you do that? Because when we look at our Babylon, it seems like our whole world is lost and caving in. But if Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith, and that you are truly unshakable in your life with that, no matter what happens to you, and here's the key, and your family, Then and only then will you belong to the remnant of God's chosen people in America. If you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that means that God chose you and you chose Him. Romans 11:5 tells us, so too, at this present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. Before we go today, may I preach some biblical doctrine this morning? Three people? Can I preach some biblical doctrine this morning? Yes. All right. Remnant. Remnant. The definition of a remnant is this: a small minority of people who remain faithful to God and so be saved. That is the definition. The Hebrew word that's translated for remnant is sarid, and it means, quote, a survivor. When the ancient rabbis translated the word from Hebrew to Greek, they used a different word, sperma, and it means sperm or seed. So what is the doctrine of the remnant? Basically, it means this: God preserves to Himself a small band of faithful people whom He will bring safely through the fires of judgment and persecution, so that way they can meet with Him one day in heaven. Now, you can hear it from me or you can hear it from the Word, so let's turn to the Word and look at the doctrine of the remnant. See, in the Old Testament, there's a prophet. His name is Isaiah. He's good. You want to read a good prophet, man, read some Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. He's got some really powerful and incredible things. And Isaiah delivered God's people a message of judgment. Yay! Woo! But that's not all he did. He also gave God's people a message of hope as well. Here is a verse in the very first chapter in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9, and it says this: unless the Lord of hosts, this is New King James Version I'm reading out of, had left us to a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom, we would have been made like Gomorrah. This is the translation, this is my translation of this. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us some survivors, a little seed, a small group of faithful followers, we would have been utterly destroyed by the wrath of God, like the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. See, the doctrine of the remnant is throughout the whole entire Bible. It's all over. A part of the nation or a people group, that's called the remnant, they're faithful and they stand for God, even though that the people around them reject the ways of God. They're the remnant. Here's the very first time the Bible ever teaches something about the remnant, and it's in the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 6. Right? You know a guy named Noah, right? God did a bad deed, man, that day. He did a nasty thing that had to happen. But what was cool is this. Genesis chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Right? I think there's some water. Is that water on my mic somehow? I don't know. A little foreshadowing, maybe. Genesis chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing. All people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I'm sorry I ever made them. I am so thankful for Jesus and the grace of God. Otherwise, the wrath of God was something we would be fearing every single day. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and mercy. Verse 8, but Noah found favor with the Lord. Way back when, Noah and his family were a very small remnant that God preserved. We see the doctrine of the remnant in the life of Abram, soon to be Abraham, when God called Abram out of Ur to become God's remnant. We see the remnant in Exodus coming out of Egypt. God helped Moses lead a remnant out of bondage to the land flowing with milk and honey. And within that remnant, there were 12 Israeli spies. Remember that? 10 of them said, God said do it. We could do it, but I don't think we can. But two of them, the remnant, said, we are more than able. We are more than able. We see that with Gideon, he had a small band of 300 mighty warriors going against the incredible forces of the Midianite army. We see a young, soon-to-be King David with his small band of outcasts against a great army of King Saul. There's also a remnant with Samuel and all the prophets when they stood against the idolatrous kings. One day it's possible I could be like that, standing from a pulpit preaching exactly the opposite of what is happening in our world, and I could be standing against, and we could all be standing against together, just like Samuel and the prophets did, against all their evil and cruel armies. There's even a remnant with a man named Jesus and his disciples going against a mighty, maybe the most mightiest empire ever known to man, the mighty Roman Empire. There's times and seasons of shaking. What we've learned from many of these seasons of shaking in the Bible is no matter what happens to a nation of people, God will preserve a faithful remnant, a seed, a small group of survivors. God does mighty things through a faithful remnant. Amen? Jesus changed the face of everything with just his disciples. That's how it started. Small remnant. God does mighty things through a faithful remnant. A remnant of God's chosen will become the foundation of God's kingdom on earth. This is the crux of the doctrine of the remnant. The church, I want to talk to you real quick. First off, don't give in. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give up. Look at me. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give in and don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give in. Even if you're asleep, I see you. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give up. When you feel alone, or like everything around you is caving in, when you question all that God is doing in our country, I want you to remember this. The days of Noah and the great flood, there were only 8 godly people left. In the days of Abram, there was 1. In the days of Elijah, there was 7,000 men who did not bow their knee to Baal. Gideon had 300, and Jesus, well, he had 12, more like 11. But no matter how small or how big the remnant of God is, God will change and shape the world again for his glory through them. Through his church. This is not a club. Not a club. And God doesn't come back for a bride that is full of spots. Comes for a spotless bride. What does that mean? You don't have to be perfect, but you strive to be holy. God says he's holy, so we should be holy. But we lose that because we're so focused on prosperity. I just want what I want, but we don't preach repentance. We don't preach the truth that there's sin in this world and we need to turn from it. And if you're full of sin, that means you're not full of God. You're full of the world, and you got to come to God full of that sin just as you are. You do not have to clean up. You do not have to do anything. You come to God how you are, and he cleans you up, and he loves you, and he will set you free. And when do you stop doing that? You stop doing that when you face him, your maker, in glory. That's when you stop. That's the only time. I realize that sometimes and all over the world, maybe, and nation, that the altar's not a popular thing anymore. Getting people to stand up and do feel good about themselves and hallelujah, I get it. I see it, I understand it. There is a message to be uplifted and built. I get that. You need to be edified and built up. I get it. But if that's all we're getting, then we'll never grow. You basically started a race. There's a race marked to receive the prize, to go after it. You started a race and you stopped and you look around and you clap for yourself when there's other people who want to clap for you at the end of the finish line. Don't stop running. Don't stop getting before God and asking for repentance. The only way we will see God's hand upon this nation is if God's people pray and will humble themselves and fall before their God and say, I am unworthy, God. I need you to forgive me. Lord, teach me your ways. But God, let me get up, set free. Let me get up, set on fire. Let me get up and change the world. Let me get up full of your boldness and be set free from all my sin and all the things that I want to do. And may you be glorified through my life, through my mouth, through my mind, God. Amen. That's what we got to do. That's what the remnant looks like. That's what the remnant looks like. That's what the remnant needs to look like. May I prophesy for a moment? That's what this church will look like. We will not settle for second best. We will not settle and allow, it says in God's word, if you let a little bit of yeast, it works through itself through the whole dough. If we allow just a little bit coming in here, you think you might be a little legalistic. No. I just think God's life's better than that life. Right? Preach against drinking and smoking and you know, homosexuality, and you preach against these. That's not because we hate anybody. That's because we understand that God's life is more important and better than our life. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. If you struggle with those things, come to God, come to one another. We don't need to judge each other. Who am I, man? You just walk around with a big old plank knocking things over in your house. Right? Oh, look at you. No, you look a fool. You look a fool. You got a big old plank. I just got a little speck. Right? We're not to judge. I'm not responsible for any other people other than myself. I get before God. You get before God. You are responsible for your own relationship. I believe all over the world, the remnant of God is rising up this very hour. This very hour. So what do we do now, Pastor? What do we do now? What do we do now? See, I've heard a word. That means I'm accountable to it. God, what do I do now? Do we just stop and hunker down, right? Get your cellars ready, woo, right? Get your tanks ready. Hunker down, right? Buy as much spam as you can. The world's gonna end, right? My goodness, where's your faith in the Lord? We just stop and hunker down and wait for the dust to settle? No. Tell me that doctrine. That seems like the doctrine of fear. I don't know about you, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love also has shown me that there is no sting in death. See, is that hunkering down and waiting for the dust to settle and being all freaked out? Is that what the underground church does in China? Is that what Christians do in the Middle East when they're getting their heads cut off right in front of their family? Man. Is that what the remnant of God did in the Bible? You don't have a Bible, and maybe you don't like your Bible. Maybe it's a hard Bible to read. If you got King James and you're just a baby Christian, you're like, thou don't understand this thou Bible, right? We will buy you a Bible. You can take a Bible today. That's NLT right in front of you. You can take it home today. Let me know you took it so I could put a new one in there. If you need a Bible, see, we have to know what the Word of God says. We must stand on the foundation, and this is God's foundation. And if we don't, it says in God's Word, we will toss to and fro like we're in the ocean, and it's just throwing us around like we don't know what to do. But man, I'm going to build my house on the rock. So that way, no storm that comes, no matter even if it's death or persecution, no matter what it is, God, that I can stand on your word, even if I don't understand it, even if I don't know what to do, even if it hurts, God, I must do it because I want to be a part of the remnant. I want to be part of the remnant. What do we do? What's the remnant do? We stand. When you don't know what else to do, Ephesians 6, what do? Say it, church.
Stand.
When you can't stand any longer, that's when you stand in the mighty power of God. We fight for truth. We love with an all-powerful God inside of us. We won't bow to false idols. We will self-sacrifice. We will face persecution. We will go and make disciples. We will never stop preaching the good news of Jesus with the Holy Spirit boldness in us. We will live a pure and holy life consecrated to God because we are the Lord's remnant and we will keep marching on. Why? Because we're the remnant of the Most High. Because we are the church. Jesus is the hope of the world. But with all his magnificent power, he chose to put his most precious gift in jars of clay. You. The presence of God lives in you. Why? Because God in these days, in this hour, with this age of grace, chooses to see a lost world come to him through the power of the Holy Spirit from his church, through his remnant. In Revelation chapter 3, or sorry, the first three verses, 1, 2, and 3. Worship team, you can come up. The first three chapters of Revelation talks to a lot of churches, and man, is it evident today. Amen? Any Revelation lovers? Amen? First three chapters, you're like, man, God is talking directly to the churches now, to the people that believe in God and that want to follow after him. And there's so many times God corrects and rebukes the church. That's a good thing to keep coming back to, saying, ooh, Have I lost my way? It's all right to keep coming back and reevaluating your relationship with God. There's nothing wrong with that. Keep coming back, asking God, okay, what do I need to change, God? And in these three chapters, God also highlights what a remnant church is to look like. It gives us a model. It gives us a church with an attitude and a practice that looks like the church of the book of Acts. It is a church willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. It's a church that holds fast to Jesus' name. It is a remnant of faithful believers. It's a church who loves, serves, and is full of faith and patience. And they're born, and all that's born out of their faithful love to Jesus Christ. It is a church who keeps their lives pure and their doors open, teaching the whole counsel of the Word of God. Anyone is welcome in here. I want to talk to you right now. If a gay couple comes in here, a prostitute, a homeless, a drug addict, whoever, a businessman, a bound up person that you can evidently see, you better not judge them. Do not judge them. You better love them. Bring them in here. They belong here. We love them. That the gospel's for all. All. Will I preach a different gospel? No. The only gospel I know is it starts in Genesis, ends in Revelation, and I'm not going to pick or choose or rip it out. I don't have any ripped out pages in my Bible. I got a lot of highlights. Right? I don't rip out what I don't want. It's for all. It's for all. Think about you. Before you ever knew the gospel, what if somebody said you weren't worthy, you were too far gone, you're too full of sin? Shame on them if they ever thought that. We all deserve the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to read what the remnant church looks like in the last days from Revelation chapter 3. It starts in verse 7, and it's a letter written to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? Bill, aren't you from around that area anyway? In New Jersey, kind of somewhere around there, yeah. Anybody from New Jersey area, New England, Boston, Philadelphia, anybody? No? Just one guy? All right, cool. Special. Amen. Amen. We had a different word, but we're going with special. What's special? Amen. You know, my wife did something really, really, really cool on Wednesday. She was teaching. She had everybody stand for the word of God in honor and respect. Will you do that now as I read God's word? Will you stand? If you are able. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Maybe we should stand for the word being read. We're one nation under God. Revelation 3 starts at verse 7. Write this letter to the angel of the... All right, write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. The one, what he opens, no one can close, and what he closes, no one can open. I know all things you do, and I've opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but are not, to come and bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love. Because you have obeyed my command to preserve remnant, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so no one will take away your crown. All who are victorious will be pillars in the temple of God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the New Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. While you're still standing, someone once said to the great preacher Charles Spurgeon, said this to him, quote, "So you believe that some will not believe? You believe that some won't accept Jesus and be saved no matter what you do, no matter how much you preach, no matter how much you work? What a despairing doctrine," end quote. Spurgeon's response back to him was this, quote, "Nigh, not so. I know some will listen, some will open their hearts, some will repent, and some will be saved," end quote. See, Jesus came that not one shall perish, but he knew that not all would come and follow him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will ever find it." See, secular music got it right. There's a highway to hell and a stairway to heaven. You know why? Because everybody knows the anticipated traffic. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for all mankind, but the Bible also teaches us that we will encounter unbelief. We will encounter rejection. We will encounter things in this world, but guess what? Some will be saved. Some will be saved. Some will be set free. Some will be set free from their selfish, sinless life. Some will turn their lives over to Jesus. Some will be washed as white as snow from their sin, from the blood of precious Jesus. Some will join the remnant of God in America and all over the world. The question today as I close is this. It's not for your neighbor. It's not for the one to your left or to your right, in front of you or behind you. It's not for your auntie, your uncles, your mama, your daddy. It ain't for anybody that brought you here today. It's not for anybody but you and you alone. Will you be one of those? Will you be part of the sum that will be the remnant of God in America. I ask you, church, will you be a part of the remnant of God in these last days? Because if you're not, we will lose. We will lose. We will lose. God's the general, but he's made me in some sense a captain. And as a captain, I will fight. I will fight. And I'll tell the truth. And I pray for protection of my family. I pray for protection to me. But would I die for the gospel? I would. I would. I want to be part of the remnant. Because though you may kill my flesh, my spirit and my soul will live forever. Because I will be part of the remnant. So I want to ask you, church, two things. If you don't know Jesus Christ, the general of God's army, the one and only King, the true King, the God above all gods, the Lord above all lords, the one and only Lamb of God, the one who sets us free, the one that is full of truth and life, the one that will make you better than you've ever been before, the one that will take away all that guilt, all that shame, all that pain, and replace it with grace, mercy, and love, the one that a lot of us in here today are standing saying, I believe in him and I will follow him into anywhere, and I want to be a fisher of men just like he called the disciples 2,000 years ago. That's you today with every head bowed and eyes closed. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you a question and I want to ask for a response from you. If you want to know Jesus, it says in God's word, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he was raised from the dead, and you shall be saved. You will be part of the sum. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, I just want you to raise your hand real quick. I just want to agree with you today. Raise your hand so I can acknowledge you. If that's you today and you say, I need Jesus and I want to be set free, I want to be part of the remnant for the first time. I don't know Jesus and I want to know him. I want to know him. That's you today. I don't see any hands yet. If that's you, raise your hand. I see a hand in the back. Is there anyone else today that says, I want to know Jesus? Anyone else? Anybody? Two more calls. Next one. Say, listen, I've been riding that fence you're talking about. In and out of Christianity, back and forth, back and forth. I don't even know what I believe. I'm just going to go wherever I go. I'm going to go. I'm led by my feelings and not by my faith. I don't even know where my faith stands. But today, something happened to me, Pastor. The Spirit of the living God is convicting my heart right now, and I must do something about it. If that's you today, and you said, I'm tired of riding this fence because I know what you preach is true, that shaking's going to break that fence, and I want to fall on the right side. If that's you today, will you raise your hand and say, I'm giving my life back to Jesus. I'm going to follow him. That's you today. Anybody? I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see that hand over there. Anybody else? I see two hands. Anybody? I see those. See those hands back there. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody? Praise God. Okay, you can put your hands down. Last call, and then we're going to do something before we go. Remember, this is action. Amen. You want to be a part of God's remnant. And you want to consecrate that today. And you want to say, God, I must be part of the remnant. I won't judge, but I will self-sacrifice. I won't preach doom or gloom, but I will prophesy. I will stand in the face of death no matter what. I will face whatever I need to, God, for your glory. I want to be a part of the remnant. I want to look like what it means to be a real Christian, one that believes the whole gospel message. That's you today. I want you to raise your hand. Hands all over the place, everybody. Hands all over. Hallelujah. Keep your hands raised. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for some people, and we're going to go. And we're going to go changed, set apart, free. We're going to go as the church was meant to go. Change the world because the world changer lives in us. That's the way we will go. That's the way we will live. Father in heaven, we love you, and we have our hands raised right now. We want to be the remnant of you, God, no matter what. If persecution may come, if you say that America might fall because I've given them chance and chance again, and I'm lifting my hand, and there must be some sort of judgment that comes, I know that in your word you've taught us a doctrine of the remnant, that you will leave a faithful sum. Lord, everybody that has their hands right now want to be a part of that. God, may you set us apart right now. May you give us, if we're weary, may you are tired, may you give us strength. If we're down and broken and hurting, may you mend our broken hearts. And if we are weak, God, may you give us strength to set us apart, give us a boldness and a fire to do what you called us to do. God, I pray right now to be separated. That's what it means to be consecrated or holy, to be set apart. God, may you set us apart right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. Give us a fire, give us a fire, give us a fire that no water can ever put out. Give us a fire that no circumstance will ever put out. Give us a fire that no death will ever put it out. Give us a fire that even if I lose a job, even if I lose friends, even if I lose what I think my life should be, even if I lose it all, God, this fire will burn, and it will burn, and it will burn, and it will burn, and it will burn forever, because I know that you protect me, that you keep me, and that you go before me in every battle. Even if I don't know what you're doing, God, you're a fighter, and you win, and I'm victorious, and I stand more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And I'm here today to say I am part of the remnant of God, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So there's some people that raise their hand for first time coming to Christ, and there's people that raise their hand to dedicate their life to Jesus again. If you raised your hand, I want to ask something of you that's bold. Now, this church celebrates. It says in heaven, if one would come back to God, there's a party in heaven, celebration. And it says also, we can have heaven here on earth. So we're going to celebrate with that as well after you say a prayer. It says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's raised from the dead. I'm going to ask you to come up now and join me. And anybody from the altar team, will you come up as well if they're in your area? Will you come up now? Will you come up now? Come meet me up here real quick if you raise your hand. Come on up, man. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Miss Kay, will you walk up with her? Right behind you, right here. Can you help me? Just walk up with her. Maybe you just need somebody to come with you. Right behind you. There you go. Amen. Come on, I know there's hands back here. I know there's some hands over here. Will you raise? Come on up. Come on up. Don't be afraid. This is awesome. We all did this at one point. We all did this. Come on up. Amen. 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 Awesome. Well, let's just go over here. I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to... Amen. Are you girls coming up for this too, or just support? Okay. All right. Let me hold your hand. All right. Go ahead and hold her hand. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you just to pray a prayer. See, there's something powerful in God's word. It says multiple times that there's power of life and death in our tongue. There's power from what we speak. God created all things with his voice, with his mouth. And for far too long, we've been saying things in our life that have been tearing us down. It's about time that we build it up right now and that we're going to speak out loud. We go ahead and grab his hand and we're going to pray. We're going to pray together. So I'm going to pray. And then I want you to repeat after me, okay? Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you so much for this, God. We're about to celebrate an amazing time that people would come back and give their heart back to Jesus, that they'd be set free, that the captive is set free, God. May they be changed forever. I pray the power of the Holy Ghost to fall upon them right now. May they feel an overwhelming love right now, right now. Any insecurities in them be broken in the power of Jesus. Any lies that have been spoken over them, the things that they've believed that are other than that they are wonderful, beautifully, and perfectly made, that they're above and they're above and not beneath, that they're the head and not the tail, that they're beloved, that they're loved with all of God ever did. He created them perfectly the way that they are. And if anyone spoke any kind of curse beyond that, be broken right now by the blood and by the power of Jesus. We speak life to this situation. This is a change of a life for all of eternity, and we give you praise right now. And we consecrate this. This is a prayer. This is where it begins, but this is not where it ends. God, I pray for the road that's ahead of them. May you be their strength. May you be their love. May you be their fire. May you be everything that they need right now. I want to ask you just to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Make sure you say it out loud, everybody. I love you. I give you my heart. I give you my life. And I give you my will. Will you forgive me of all that I've done and all that I've said? And will you set me free? I come to you now and recognize you are the Lord of my life. You are my Savior, and you died for me, and you're alive because you rose again. Will you have my heart now and my life forever? I recognize the road ahead will be tough. Let me know you are near. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, just make it real with him right now. Make it real. Make it real. Just you and him. Just talk right now. Make it real. Make it real. Thank you, God. Just tell him, thank you. I love you. Thank you. I love you. Now we have people here that want to get your information and just write it down. And they're just going to get your information so we can do a follow-up with you. And right now is my favorite time of everything that just happened. This church celebrates lives that come to Jesus. Can we celebrate, church? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Before we go, let's worship the King. Let's have a good one, a good worship song. Let's go out celebrating. Hey, change the world. The world changer lives in you. Tonight's a business meeting. The Holy Ghost even shows up to business. Hallelujah. We love you. See.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness?